Now, the first reading is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It's the coming messenger. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, unless they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Now, second reading is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and this is the proclamation of John the Baptist. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And this is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God.
I was chatting earlier, just before our service, about what a blessing it is actually to be in the Christian community, the church being, you know, the family of God and the body of Christ. So today, of course, it's part of Advent, and the season of Advent means arrival or coming. And it has a double significance, looking to the first coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, which, of course, we celebrate every Christmas, but also the second coming of Jesus at the end of history, which, of course, is still to happen, but for which Jesus told his followers to be watchful and ready at all times. So Lent, of course, is the preparation for Easter, with penitence for sin, fasting, simplifying our lives, cleansing our souls. But Advent is preparation for Christmas, for the Lord's coming, but not particularly penitential. It's less about sin and forgiveness. It's more about getting ready, preparing, watching for his arrival. So how do we prepare? Well, there are various sets of themes for Advent to think through. In her prayers last week, Helen Suarez mentioned the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. So that's one way to think through and to prepare for the coming of the Lord. There are four Sundays in Advent, and therefore four candles, plus a white one for Christmas Day itself. And I'm going to light two of those candles for the second Sunday in Advent. There we go. So I don't know if you can see that, the two candles for the second Sunday. And the Church of England has themes in the readings for those four Sundays in Advent. Last week was the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so on. And this week it's the prophets, all the prophecies leading up to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Then the third week's John the Baptist, the fourth week, the Virgin Mary. Those, if you think about them, they're all actually leading up to the first coming of Christ at Christmas time. There's also, would you believe, four traditional themes for Advent meditation, which are a little bit more somber, called the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And those, if you think about them, they're preparing us more for Christ's second coming, which we read about in scriptures such as Matthew 24 and so on. And then, would you believe, for the final 7 days leading up to Christmas, there used to be seven Advent antiphons or sung refrains. For example, the first one in Latin is O Sapientia, in English, O Wisdom, coming forth from the mouth of the Most High, come and teach us the way of prudence. And in our first hymn that we sang, O Come, Emmanuel, several of those themes are mentioned: the key of David, the root of Jesse, the dayspring from on high, and so on. Ways of addressing God in Christ. So there's lots of different ways of looking at Advent and preparing for the coming of the Lord and expecting his arrival. I was making this week an Advent calendar. I don't know, perhaps some of you have got Advent calendars, have you? Mine, I open the little doors and there's a Bible verse in. You may open the little doors and find all sorts of exciting things behind, I don't know. But today, the second Sunday of Advent, the modern lectionary theme is the readings of the prophets and the way that the prophets foretold the coming of the Messiah. Malachi, which Audrey read first of all, Malachi is the very last book of the Old Testament, probably the very last of the prophets to prophesy, but still 4 centuries before the coming of Jesus. That was a long gap, a long time for people not hearing at all the word of God through the prophets. A big gap. Chapter 3 gives Malachi's prophecy of a messenger preparing the way before the Lord. That was what Audrey read for us. And the last words of Malachi, actually in chapter 5, give a little bit more detail, likening that messenger to Elijah. And then, says Malachi, the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. Our second reading from Luke gives, of course, a lot more detail because Jesus is coming. And Luke typically is very careful with dates. Well done, Audrey, full marks for all those names of various rulers and people in charge at the time. Luke pinpoints it by that means, telling us exactly who was in authority and what their job was at the time. He's already told us back in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel about the miracle of John the Baptist's conception and birth to Zechariah and Elizabeth, his parents. Now in chapter 3, John's grown up, and Luke tells us how the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. But the message is about baptism. So it's no good for John to stay in the desert. He has to leave the desert and go down, heading down for the Jordan River Valley, where, of course, there's water. And he preaches to everybody the need for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. And central to his message is the word of Isaiah chapter 40, the prophecy of a voice calling out in the desert, almost a disembodied voice in the wilderness, like a herald announcing the approach of a great monarch, requiring bulldozers and earth movers to flatten mountains and hills, filling in the valleys, constructing straight and wide motorways, a bit like, the A12 that we were thinking about this week and the new route that they're planning for that. John the Baptist was announcing that message from Isaiah that the great monarch is coming, the great ruler, the king, the Lord. Make a smooth highway for our God. Because what's coming is the best and the greatest ever, God's salvation. And all mankind will see it. So this is the season of Advent, with its double focus on the first and second comings of Jesus. Theologian Helmut Thielicke commented, "Christians may not know what will come, but they do know who will come." It's so important, isn't it, to know Jesus, to know our Lord, because he's the one who will return at the end of history. Next week, the readings will focus more on the ministry of John the Baptist, what he actually did in the first century to prepare people for Jesus. But this week, John features among the prophets, perhaps the greatest among the prophets, because he was the one who heralded Jesus, the arrival of the Messiah, the coming of the Christ. What's the task of the prophet? What is it that God has called them to? We tend to think of prophets as predicting the future, don't we? And that is part of it, to be fair. But more to the point is to speak on behalf of God, to declare what God wants to say, to proclaim God's message. Sometimes that's to bring insight into a situation, to point out something perhaps people haven't realized or noticed. Sometimes it's to call people to repentance when things have gone wrong. And John, of course, did that, John the Baptist. Sometimes it's to point people to notice the work of God in their midst. Again, John the Baptist did that, pointing out the Lamb of God. "Look," he told his followers, "look, there's Jesus. He is the Lamb of God." Now, in the New Testament, there were still prophets in the early church, and indeed there are still prophets today. Some of them are public figures, calling the church and the people of God back to God's way. I think perhaps our bishop, Stephen Cottrell, now the Archbishop of York, I think he's an example of that, someone who is willing to speak out bravely and to declare God's word to the nation. Others are perhaps a little bit more personal and local. In our area, Paul Green runs a school of prophecy called Speakers of Life Essex, SOUL, which I commend to you. I was on a prayer walk on Friday with three or four of the Stanway Pioneer team, and they were praying prophetically. In other words, they were listening to the Spirit of God and declaring his faintest whispers to them. And I was greatly encouraged. I think a number of our folk, Keith Rush, Andrew, Peter Strode, Helen Suarez, all have an interest in prophetic ministry and prayer. It's not always comfortable to be around prophets, but we need that ministry. We need their words to draw us back to God when we're heading perhaps in the way of the world. So pray for prophetic ministry in the church today. Advent is a time of preparation and expectation of the coming of Jesus. We don't know many words of the Aramaic language that Jesus and his followers spoke, but one of those words is Maranatha, which means "Our Lord, come." And it's the sort of Advent prayer, Advent cry, which you may hear in church liturgy for the next few weeks. I want to finish by reading a poem called Advent Calendar, and it's by Rowan Williams, who used to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. He wrote this: "He will come like last leaf's fall, one night when the November wind has flayed the trees to bone, and earth wakes choking on the mould, the soft shrouds folding. He will come like the frost, one morning when the shrinking earth opens on mist to find itself arrested in the net of alien sword-set beauty. He will come like dark, one evening when the bursting red December sun draws up the sheet and penny marks its eye to yield the star-snowed fields of sky. He will come like crying in the night, like blood, like breaking, as the earth writhes to toss him free. He will come like child.